Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on each week and break bread with you. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. That's Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and their senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday, beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. starts their worship service. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. Wednesday at noon, you can call in this number and listen to it live. Amen. And they also have Bible studies Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at their location. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can reach them on Facebook, YouTube, and also their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Well, I thank you once again. Before we get into the word, just want to send a shout out to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day that we will be celebrating tomorrow. Amen. Thank God for fathers. Hallelujah. So we're going to listen to a song before we get into the word. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to be better. Is that your confession this morning? Hallelujah. She said, God is the author. So use your pen, Father, to write me better. He's the constructor. So reveal me better, Father. He's the potter. Mold me better, Father. And he's the maker. Make me better. Make me like you, God. Is that your confession? To be just like God, our Father, which art in heaven. So when they see me, just like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I only say what I hear my Father saying. I only do what I see my Father do. For we are created in his image and after his likeness. We should look just like our Father, which art in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Had some technical difficulties this morning. So we're just going to thank God that we're able to be on this morning. We're going to be talking about Father's. I mentioned earlier that we'll be celebrating Father's Day tomorrow. So thank God for fathers, those who stand in the gap, who take the places of the needed fathers in the lives of children. We're going to be coming out of the book of 1 Corinthians today. 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter. Starting at verse 14. And it reads, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. This is Paul writing a letter to Corinthians, and he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. He put emphasis on my beloved sons. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. That's key. He says, in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. I want to read this again. So at verse 14, 1 Corinthians 4th chapter. Verse 14, and it reads, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. The title of the message this morning is Faith Following Figures. Faith Following Figures. Let us pray. Father, thank you for waking us up to see another day that you have made, Lord. For we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for giving us life, for having the breath to breathe, Father. Thank you for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, God, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you will have to say to us this morning, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us ready, God, to encourage us and to build us up and to remind us of who you are. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Thank you for your word, Father. Your word that saves and heals and delivers, sets free, God, those who are bound and captive, in which we know as sin. Thank you, Father, for your son Jesus, who came to live, to be the example, to live a sinless life, God, to take our sins to the cross and to suffer, to pay the price, God. To defeat sin and hell and the grave, death. And thank you for raising him up on the third day with all power, God. Hallelujah. Thank you for receiving him into heaven, his precious, sinless blood, and allowing him to sit next to you on your right hand, God, interceding for us, pleading for us, God, standing in the gap for us. And thank you for Holy Spirit, our comforter, our teacher, our guide, to help us and give us the strength to walk in this life, representing you, Father. Now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to apply it to our lives, to make it personal, Father, that we may go out and do what you called us to do, to seek and save that which is lost, to equip the saints, Father, to prepare them and make them ready, Father, to do what you called them to do. We thank you and we praise you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Faith following figures. as we mentioned that tomorrow is Father's Day. Fathers will be celebrated all over the world. Father's Day. When we look at the word father, father is a man who has begotten a child. Father is God, the first person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Father is one related to another in a way suggesting that a father to child. Father is the source. That's the noun version of the word father, but we're going to talk about the action word of the word father. Definition of the word father in the verb form is to beget, to be the founder, producer, or author of. The song we just listened to, the title of it is author. So it could have been named father, founder, producer. Father is to accept responsibility for, to fix the paternity or origin of. When I think about that definition, I think about the scripture where it says, we've been adopted into the family of God. Wherefore we now cry, Abba, Father. Father means to care for or look after someone as a father might. So fathering is doing something, not just being, but doing. Father means to place responsibility for the origin or cause of. Because I'm taking upon this responsibility to be a father. My job is to care for or to look after as a father might. And who is our example? Our Father, which art in heaven. Even when I think about that scripture, it says our Father, not who art in heaven, not just being in heaven, but which art in heaven. He's a doer. He's not just sitting on the throne, looking and doing nothing. No, he's the creator. He's watching over us. He's protecting us. He's taking care of us. He's looking after us. He's the example. A lot of us have said we didn't have a father figure in our lives while growing up. But that's not true, because a father figure is a person often of particular power or influence who serves as an emotional substitute for a father. I want to read that again. Father figure is a person often of particular power or influence who serves as an emotional substitute for a father. And that person could be a stepfather or uncle, an older brother, big cousin, a coach, a police officer, a grandfather, a counselor, a mentor, a father-in-law, a pastor, or even your friend's father. So the question is not if you have a father figure, but what kind of father figure did you have? What kind of power or influence did they have? Was it positive or negative or good or bad or healthy, unhealthy? Was it helpful or was it hurtful? We are products of how we were trained. We are products of how we were trained, not products of our own environment. That's what we hear a lot. We're products of our own environment. But not products of our own environment, but the type of training we receive while being in our particular environment. We're products of how we were trained. Let's go to Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Talking about faith-following figures. Proverbs 22 and 6. And it reads, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The word train means to direct the growth of as a plant, usually by bending, pruning, or tying. That's how we should train someone, to direct the growth of as a plant. When we think of a plant, we think of it as tenderness, it's being fragile. So we direct the growth by bending and pruning and tying. Train means to form when it says bending, pruning, and tying, I think of pruning meaning discipline. It may hurt, but you're instilling something in that particular child that you're training. The New Living Translation, Proverbs 22:6 says, direct your children onto the right path. And when they are older, they will not leave it. So we're directing their growth. We're directing them onto the right path. Training means to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. To form by instruction, discipline, or drill. Let's look at Proverbs 22:6 in the Amplified Version. And it reads, train up a child in the way he should go, and in keeping with his individual gift or bent. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Says we are to train the child up in the way they should go, and in keeping with his individual gift. So we have a responsibility not just to direct, but to remind them of their purpose. It says, in keeping with his individual gift. Let's go to 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter. 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 14. And it reads, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known in the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we are to form by instruction, discipline, or drill. Drill, when I think about the word drill, is consistency. Train means to aim at an object or objective. To aim at an object or objective. The Message Translation, Proverbs 22:6 reads, point your kids in the right direction. Point your kids in the right direction. When they're old, they won't be lost. To aim at an object or objective. To train means to teach so as to make fit, qualified, or proficient. To teach so as to make fit, qualified or proficient. The New International Version, Proverbs 22 and 6 reads, start children off on the way they should go. And when, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. So when we look at the word train, train is directing, it's forming, it's aiming, and it's teaching. We're directing the growth. Of children, forming them by giving them instruction and discipline and drill, being consistent. We're aiming them, we're pointing them in the direction that they should go. We're aiming at an object. This is your purpose. This is why you were created. This is why you were born into this earth. And we're teaching them so that they can fit into this world. As sons and daughters of the Most High God. Fit to be comfortable, to be suitable, to do what God has called them to do in whatever place that they're at, to be light in this world, to be the salt of the earth, to be the head and not the tail, to be above only and not beneath, to be more than conquerors. That's what we should be doing. So we talked about father figures, and now let's talk about father image. Father image is an idealization of one's father, often projected onto someone to whom one looks for guidance and protection. All children need fathers. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for a father, one who can give them guidance, who can protect them. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And it reads, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's two commands for fathers. One is to provoke not your children to wrath. Avoid severity, anger, harshness, cruelty, while disciplining them. Cruel parents generally have bad children. Cruel parents generally have bad children. We are to correct, not punish. Punishment is from a principle of revenge. Correction is from a principle of affectionate concern. So we are to correct, not punish. We correct them by showing them affection, by being concerned. Number two, a command for fathers is to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The mind is to be nourished with wholesome discipline and instruction which will bend them toward God and Christian living. This is nurturing. The mind is to be nourished with wholesome discipline and instruction which will bend them toward God and Christian living. How do we do that? The example is in Romans 12. Starting at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present, that it's spelled the same way as the pronunciation of present, but it's not just being, but it's doing, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then the other part is, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is how we nurture children. We nurture their mind with the word of God. We give them instructions according to the word of God. We discipline them according to the word of God. Nurture is child training. And we do that through education, discipline, correction, instruction, and chastening. Let's go to Hebrews 12th chapter. Talking about faith following figures. Hebrews 12th chapter, starting at verse 5. And it reads, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Said, whom the Lord loveth. So the chastening or the scourging or the disciplining is done out of love. Verse 7 says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Says those who are without chastisement they're called bastards, not sons. This is the word speaking. Verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for a prophet that we might be partakers of his holiness. We'll read that one again. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, talking about natural fathers. But he for our prophet, that we might be partakers of his holiness. This is how God disciplines. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Doesn't feel good at the time, at the moment. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The reasoning for chastisement, for discipline, for correction is because of something done wrong, unrighteousness. But it says after the chastening, the chastisement, the disciplining, the correcting, says it yieldeth forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It causes those who have been chastised to now do right, to live holy. Because even earthly parents chasing for only a few days? Shall we believe that God is less loving? Shall we say that sickness of lifelong continuance are his doings and that he is the only parent who never gets through chastening? No, God is a momentarily disciplinary. He only disciplines us for that moment, for that which we have done, which causes him to chasten us. Paul here is showing that God is a better parent than men, not a worse one. This is the object of all the chastening or child training and correction of God. His holiness, not the man-made kind that sets up human standards of dress and outward appearance, which create pride and false humility and gender strife among Christians. I'm going to read that one again. It says, his holiness, not the man-made kind that sets up human standards of dress and outward appearance, which create pride and false humility and gender strife among Christians. Among Christians. Why are Christians fighting over genders? I'm going to leave that one alone, but that'll preach by itself. God's emphasis is on inward holiness. Man's emphasis is on outward appearance. So it says, God sees the heart of man. No matter how you look on the outside, how much makeup you're wearing, what type of mask you're wearing, God is looking at the heart. Admonition. Admonition is gentle reproof. It's lovingly rebuking. And it's kindly and caringly warning. That's what admonition is. Gently reproofing. Lovingly rebuking. And kindly and caringly warning. That's what admonition is. Because we're treating our children as tender plants. So they're fragile. We must be careful that we bend but not break. We shake them but not destroy them. We mold them, but not mess them up, not change the form in which they were created. For God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, after his likeness. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, starting at verse 14. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, starting at verse 14, talking about faith following figures. And it reads, I am not writing these things to shame you, but to warn you as my beloved children. For even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. Did you hear what that said? He said, I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. So I urge you to imitate me. That's why I have sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. He will remind you of how I follow Christ Jesus, just as I teach in all the churches wherever I go. The Message translation says, I'm not writing all this as a neighborhood scold just to make you feel rotten. I'm writing as a father to you, my children. I love you and want you to grow up well, not fall. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong, but there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow. It was as Jesus helped me proclaim God's message to you that I became your father. I'm not, you know, asking you to do anything I'm not already doing myself. A father is a doer. This is why I sent Timothy to you earlier. He is also my dear son and true to the master. He will refresh your memory on the instructions I regularly give all the churches on the way of Christ, consistency. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 1, and it reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. This is showing us what a father should be doing. It says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee. I'm always thinking about you. You're always on my mind in my prayers night and day. I'm constantly and consistently praying for you night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of our tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. See, it's interesting that he didn't mention Timothy's father, but he mentioned his grandmother and his mother, because his grandmother was the first convert in the family. Then the daughter was saved, and finally Timothy. This did not come through heredity, but through prayer and Christian training. See, Timothy's father was a Greek. And since no mention is made of his faith, it is possible that he was a heathen and contributed nothing to his son's Christian training. Let's turn to Acts real quick, Acts 16 chapter. Talking about Timothy's father. Verse 1, Acts 16, verse 1. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus. Talking about Paul. Paul came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman. Isn't that interesting? The son of a certain woman, not a certain father, which was a Jewess. The mother was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. See, when I look at that, the mother was a Jew and the father was a Greek. Right there, that's unequally joined together with an unbeliever. The mother was unequally joined together, yoked together with an unbeliever. Says, and believed, but his father was a Greek. His father was known as an alcoholic, or this man that lived unholy, that worshiped idol gods. Says, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. His father was well known as a Greek. But even though his father wasn't a faith-following figure, his grandmother and his mother trained him in the way that he should go. See, we don't need father figures. We need faith-following figures. That's what we need, faith. Full assurance and true hearts. And fathers are following after the head example, reproducing sons. That's the purpose of fathers. Following after the head example, reproducing sons. Faith-following figures. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us what a father not just is, but what a father does. For it is not just by being a father, but doing what a father is chosen to do. To be the example, to direct, to form, to aim, to teach, to train up a child in the way that they should go. So when they are older, they will not depart from. And we thank you, Father, for being our Father, which art in heaven. Even when I think about who you are, our Creator, you're always doing. You're always watching over us. You're always protecting us. You're always not just being there, but supplying our every need, for strengthening us, for encouraging us, for building us up. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the message. Now help us to apply it and share it with others, that there may be more faith-following figures. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Wooden. God bless you.